This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
It is game over for five high school soccer players accused of hazing younger teammates.
And some girls are accused of blindfolding freshman players on October 29th and then hitting them in the face with pies.
There was also talk of dog collars and leashes being used.
The principal calls this incident serious misbehavior and suspended the girls.
Last week, Needham High School's varsity girls soccer team landed in the news after several players were suspended over allegations of hazing freshman students. The incident occurred late last month, and after it happened, some of the students were also prevented from playing an upcoming tournament. Needham ended up losing that tournament badly. And even though many people have criticized the hazing incident, some Needham parents were outraged that the athletes were disciplined so harshly. Here to talk about that Needham situation as well as other sports news is Only a Game's Bill Littlefield. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Sasha.
Now, Bill, this news obviously happened several days ago, so in terms of a news cycle, it's somewhat old. But you live in Needham, I believe, and we actually haven't had you on the show, I think, since this happened. So we thought it was worth bringing it up with you. Now, as you know, many of the parents are saying, look, it was good-natured fun. This wasn't hardcore hazing. The school is standing firm. It's saying it was hazing. It can't happen. I think they're reminiscent of the bullying things going on. I wonder what you make of this.
Well, it was somewhere in the middle between the really hideous kind of hazing incidents that one hears about, you know, taking college freshmen out into the woods in their underwear and having them have to find their way back to the campus without maps or lights. Would be the extreme of paddling people, obviously, you know, dangerous physical activities. On the other hand, there is a line between team building and hazing. Team building is everybody getting together and having pizza and singing songs and, you know, watching favorite television programs. Hazing is an activity that potentially humiliates or embarrasses somebody.
Do you have a sense of what you think this tilted more towards?
I hesitate to foul my nest since I live in Needham. But I don't think the school department had any choice. There's been a rule against hazing for a long time. I think this certainly qualifies as the sort of activity they were trying to prevent just because sometimes these things get out of hand.
Since, as you said, your nest is Needham, do you have a sense that people are even talking about this anymore, or is this sort of over?
I hope it's over. I hope that some of the people who got most exercised about it have begun to put it in context, and the kids are back in school and doing the things that kids do and to get through school and get ready to go to college.
Let's talk about a different women's soccer team. This is the U.S. national team. Now, this is a team that I believe has a lot of Boston players on it. We're pretty
indeed.
Well represented there.
Very well. The Breakers are very well represented.
And they haven't been able to break through the qualifying requirements for next year's Women's World Cup. Is that right, even though they're a good team?
Well, the great surprise was for the first time, the U.S. team is going to have to play its way in the back door of that tournament. They lost to Mexico in the regional qualifier in the semifinals. They have never lost to Mexico before. They hate playing Mexico. A lot of the women on the team will tell you that the Mexican players are physical and have it in for the U.S. players because they've lost to them so often. And so now they have to play Italy on Saturday, and then they have to play Italy again in Chicago on the 27th of November, and they have to emerge victorious on aggregate in those two games in order to grab the last spot in the Women's World Cup in Germany.
So is suddenly having to fly a whole team to Italy kind of a budget buster that they hadn't anticipated?
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting question, because the spokesperson from the federation with whom I spoke earlier today was magnificently cloudy on the whole thing. He said it depends on how many tickets they sell. If they sell a lot of tickets, they may make money on this extra two games. Unfortunately, because nobody knew that those two games were going to be required until very recently, they don't have very much time to sell tickets. So at last count, they'd only sold about 3,000 tickets for the game in Chicago, game two. And nobody seems to know how many tickets they've sold for the game in Italy.
So they could be flying across the ocean for a game that doesn't even have that many fans.
Well, you know, women's soccer in some of the rest of the world is not such a big deal as it is when the national team plays here in the U.S. And, yeah, it's quite possible that the crowd will not be too big.
One more women's soccer story that is not happy news has to do with this Women's Professional Soccer League. Can you tell us what's going on with this team called the Gold Pride? It's a Bay Area team.
Yeah, they have folded. They won the championship this year. They employed Marta, who is the Brazilian, who is without question the most accomplished, currently active women's soccer player in the world. And they couldn't find anybody to buy the team. They couldn't find anybody who saw it as a worthwhile investment, despite the fact that they're defending champions. They had Marta on the roster, Tiffany Milbritt on the roster, and still couldn't find a buyer.
And this basically is hardly the first women's soccer
team
to fold.
No, unhappily, three of those teams have folded in 2 years of history. The other ones was the team down in L.A., which was the regular season champ the previous year.
What does it take for women's soccer to survive?
Healthily. I think probably optimists like me think what it takes is time. There are, as the commissioner of the Women's Soccer League pointed out, the history of leagues, men and women's leagues, has teams folding in the early going, and the hope would be that eventually this would catch on.
So just stick with it for a while.
That's
hopefully
all there is to do.
Bill, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Bill Littlefield is the host of Only a Game, which you can listen to here on WBUR on Saturdays at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Stay with us. Coming up, we'll have the conductor of the Boston Philharmonic in the studio. He's made it his life's work to make people understand and love classical music, and he's confident he can do it.
It's one of the characteristics of a leader that he not doubt for one moment the capacity of the people he's leading to realize whatever he's dreaming. Imagine if Martin Luther King had said, "I have a dream." Of course, I'm not sure they'll be up to it.
We'll be back after a short break. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.